Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Julie Hughes. I am a midwife, a mom of four, and a woman with deep curiosity and reverence for the natural transitions that we go through in our life. This podcast explores the rite of passage known as puberty. We will be diving deep into topics around the changing mind, body, and spirit of girls and their relationships with themselves, their families, and their peers. This podcast is brought to you by the Powerful Puberty Project. PowerfulPuberty.com. All information contained in this podcast is for educational purposes only. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. So today I'm going to be talking about the birth control pill. The goal of this podcast is really to talk about how the birth control pill is used in tween and teenagers, not from the lens of a contraceptive device, but really as a period cure. I'm going to talk about kind of a little bit of the history of what the pill is and what it's doing from a biological, emotional, and like whole body perspective. And I'm going to talk about some of the side effects only because they're very rarely talked about. Not as a judgment. Why using the pill, kind of the pros and the cons of using the pill on the bodies, minds, and spirits of these young girls. And really this is just a disclaimer that this is not a podcast that's going to be debating the use of the pill as a contraceptive method, or really even to offer contraceptive advice for other options than a pill. Maybe I'll record a podcast on that at some point, but that's not what I'm here to do today. So I've actually had this topic on my mind as a podcast for quite a long time. And recently I watched The Business of Birth Control, which is a documentary about the history of the pill and the movement of the pill for women's rights and empowerment and the pill, you know, the side effects and damage of the pill. So kind of a full scope documentary on the pill. It's put out by Ricky Lake and Abby Epstein. It's currently not available. It was available for a download option. And really, really those of us who are midwives and in the kind of this sort of profession are probably some of the only people that even knew that this was available for streaming. It is going to be able to be offered in terms of bringing it to communities and providing screening. So it might be something that I do. I think it was and is an incredible documentary. And yeah, so really this what I'm going to be sharing, maybe there's a little part of it that was from the documentary, something else I learned more about the history, but it was just spurred for me to talk about it in this sort of a platform. So I kind of want to ground this conversation in my own story of my use with the pill. And I want to do that for a few reasons. One, because it is a story that I have heard over and over and over again. And it was, again, echoed even in that the documentary. It is a story that is, quote unquote, anecdotal, meaning it is our own stories. And those don't often get put in the research, right? Oftentimes, women, even when we have experiences that are negative in any sort of health care situation, they can be dismissed. Not always, but they can often be dismissed. I literally even just spoke to a woman today who was told that she went to a hospital to have a baby, and they told her that she was too happy and chipper and with it to have a baby. And so they sent her home. And 20 minutes after getting home, she had her baby on the floor of her bedroom. And it just really elicited me another example of how we are often ignored and told that this, we don't look or it's not the right symptom. And so we are just dismissed. So my own story of the pill is that I was put on the pill at the age of 13 or 14. I honestly can't remember. I started my menstrual cycle when I was 11. I believe I was 13 when I was put on the pill. I was put on the pill by an OBGYN, and I went to the OBGYN because I had very, very heavy periods. Sometimes they would last 10 to 14 days. And they were debilitated in some ways. I bled a lot, and I just felt horrible, right? And so, as is very common, I was put on the pill for that. And it was told that it would cure my period issues. I stayed on the pill until I was 21 years old. At some point along the way, I didn't even question it, really. So I was definitely not sexually active at 13. That came many years later. But I, you know, it did. Once I was put on the pill, my acne cleared up and my period problems, well, maybe the duration of the period changed. I would not say anything else changed. It was not a cure for the amount or the pain or anything like that. So it was good enough, and that was the only option. So I just stayed on it and didn't question. You know, I was 13. I'm just now having a period. It was what it was. So when I was 21 years old, I was traveling around the world after I graduated from college, and was, I think I actually just ran out of pills. I was not sexually active at the time, and I ran out of pills. And so I just went off because I didn't really know another way to get the birth control pill. And within maybe 10 days, I remember turning to my friend and saying, wow, something is really different with me. I feel like a totally different person. And I didn't really even know why. I just remember having this realization and talking to her. Just, I remember that statement, saying it out loud, and not really having a realization. I think there was some part of me that realized that perhaps it could be because the only change was that I had gone off this pill. So for many months, I was not on the birth control pill. And then at some point in my travels, I met up with my partner. He was my partner of 6 years at that point. And we were traveling on our own. We met up in a country together, Thailand. And I decided to go to a pharmacy in Thailand and see if I could get a birth control prescription. Or there it's just over the counter. You can just get it. And so I did that, and I went back on the pill, and I immediately felt the change. It was like a change in my personality. It was like a shadow had come over me. Is probably the best way to describe it. And so within a week of being on that, I said to myself, I ain't no way. I got off and I've never gone back on. And I've heard this story, maybe not in the exact same way of describing the shadow. I don't really know other way to describe it other than I didn't feel like me. And kind of duh, now that I know so much about hormones and their impact on our moods, their impact on so many different things, which I'll go over. And so it's just a story that I want to ground it in, because my story is like so many women's story nowadays, that we're put on the pill for non-contraceptive measures, and often at an early age when we don't really know, and no one discussed any side effects. I can tell you that. No one definitely discussed any side effects with me. So on with the show. The pill, from a biological, emotional, and whole body perspective, with a little bit of the history, and some of this is taken from this documentary that I just watched, because I found it so fascinating. I always find it fascinating to know how we get to where we're at, right? So the pill was FDA approved in 1960. It was studied for 12 months prior to the FDA approval. And it was studied on 132 Puerto Rican women. That's the extent of the sample size, 132 Puerto Rican women, of which 5 died during the course of use. It was approved, And as most things that are approved, it was approved for a, or authorized for a 6 week, really for a short term, not long term usage, right? That is, that does not mean that they can't be and aren't prescribed or taken in long term usage, but that is really how it was authorized at the beginning. The pill is a synthetic form of either estrogen or progesterone. There's lots of different pills. Some are progesterone only. Most of them are estrogen. And there have been several different iterations of the estrogen that is synthetically created. We're currently on the third or fourth family or iterations of this estrogen. And the interesting thing about that is every time a new iteration of this synthetic estrogen comes, the increase of risk, the risk factor increases. And that's shown in all of the literature and in all of the scientific studies. And so why would they, something that already worked, why would they change the formula of the estrogen? Well, when they change the form of the estrogen, it becomes new. It becomes a new patent. It is no longer generic and can be offered at a much higher price. Basically, it's money. Let's just lay it out there right now. It's money, right? And so they make more money. They can patent it. They have a new thing. And so back in the early 2000s, maybe like 2008, I'm not sure on the date. There was, and you probably will remember this, there was a lot of commercials, but Yaz was a new period or a new new birth control pill that they also marketed. It was the first one to ever market it as solving your period problem. So it wasn't even just marketed as a birth control pill. It was also marketed to solve your period problems. It was the first of its kind. Yaz was a new iteration of the estrogen, and it was has been shown and has been, there's been many lawsuits, there's been many lives lost from Yaz. And I don't really want to go too much into this because it could, you know, the business of a birth control and also the, just the literature out there is so, there's so much, so I don't want this podcast to be all about that. I just want to kind of ground us in the foundation of where this came from and where we've gone with it. So it came from women's empowerment, that we could control our child-rearing years so that we could be in the workforce and we could go after what we wanted without the disruption, and we could plan, right? We could plan. So it was a big women's empowerment. All the way to now it becomes a money-making thing, right? Not even to mention that it was done on Puerto Rican women, or, you know, like the Depo Provera shot was done on women in New Zealand. So it's done on, you know, women of color and women of lower economic status is often where these drugs are tried. And often they cause all sorts of issues. And so that's probably a whole nother conversation. There's so many rabbit holes I could get in with this, but the purpose of this is to explore what it means for you and your daughter, right? And so what does it do? The birth control pill gives you a dose of a specific hormone. Again, there's different ways. There's estrogen progesterone, there's progesterone only. And it controls your cycle. So when you're on the birth control pill, you are not actually having a menstrual cycle. You're having a breakthrough bleed. You're not actually cycling. It's controlling, there's different ones, but it's controlling ovulation, so you're not ovulating. You're not having the same cyclical nature of your cycle. You're not having the estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, all of the different hormones that are involved that cycle, that do their dance, as I like to say when I teach the puberty classes. And there's some issues with that, right? So our hormones are really, really important and the health in the health and wellness of our body. They're important for women in our cardiovascular health. They're important in our bone health long-term, which, you know, one of the top three issues with women as they age is osteoporosis and heart disease, right? Those are the top, one of the top, two of the top three as you get older. And so that's directly correlated to your hormones and whether or not they're in balance, right? Whether that cycle is in balance. It is often called the fifth vital sign. In fact, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists did name it the fifth vital sign. It is a sign of your health and a predictive measure for your long-term health. So when you're not cycling, when you're put on these drugs for measures other than contraceptive, you are putting a Band-Aid on the root cause of what's going on with your hormones. You are putting a synthetic, unnatural solution without addressing a problem. It's a Band-Aid. And that Band-Aid will often come out and you will experience issues in a lot of other ways. It just depends how long. So one of the things birth control pills can do is suppress testosterone levels. It can suppress them to nearly zero. So testosterone is responsible for our muscle mass, for our cognitive abilities, for our focus and concentration, and bone development. When testosterone goes to zero or nearly zero, the sex hormone binding globulin, so the little boat, it's like a carrier model. So let's imagine it as a boat. So when that boat that carries your testosterone around goes way, so you have this boat that carries around your testosterone and it goes way up when you're on the pill, so that any testosterone that you still might make or is still in your system gets stuck on this boat and can't get into your cells. And that can affect the change your personality, your libido, which doesn't really matter, obviously, for a 13-year-old. It can cause you to lose muscle mass. It can cause you to lose focus and concentration. It can cause you to lose drive, right? That testosterone, just think about testosterone as a hormone. It's kind of that driving, get her done kind of hormone, which we do need, right? And we also need muscle mass immensely at this time of the life for a young girl. And so there's a lot of consequences for this. There's also a lot of downstream consequences. So 70% of your immune system is in your intestines. And you're feeding your microbiome, which is your gut, right? The bacterias and things in your gut. You're feeding it synthetic toxins. That's literally, I mean, the way estrogen can come across your body as a synthetic toxin, right? It causes immune dysregulation and it causes mood disorders, because think about it, your mind-brain connection, your gut-brain connection, right? When your gut is upset, if you've never heard this, if this is new, but when your gut is upset, when your gut is in dysbiosis or dysregulation, it highly affects your moods, right? So without going into maybe just a little bit more detail, in your gut, you have something called your estrobolome. So within your microbiome, you have your estrobolome. Your estrobolome is where the three different types of estrogen that are made in your body for different phases in life and different levels. It's when they're synthesized. It's where they can, it's kind of like, in some ways, maybe like a powerhouse of center of where your estrogen is, right? And so if your gut is upset, that also, so the natural estrogen that you possibly have in your body is also upset. So there's all sorts of things that are happening by putting this in your body, right? Most women probably nowadays take birth control pill often. It is, like I said, it is prescribed as for nearly 35 to 45% of all birth control pills are prescribed for non-contraceptive means nowadays. So for specifically, you know, young girls and teenagers, it is prescribed as a cure. When girls are first beginning to menstruate, they will be irregular. The first year a girl menstruates, she only ovulates around 3 times. So if you know much about the cycle, the levels of estrogen, progesterone, and other hormones, that ovulation is very much tied to progesterone levels, right? And so it is very natural for her system for the first 3 years to be quite out of balance. So the first year she ovulates around 3 times. The second year she ovulates around 9 times. And then by the third year she's ovulating regularly. So the first year is kind of touch and go for many girls, not all girls. There are so many things that they can do to make this a more smooth, I guess, or more balanced process, right? But by that third year, they should be quite regular. And by regular, this does not mean 10 days of bleeding like crazy. This does not mean crazy period cramps. This does not mean all sorts of things. Those sorts of things are what girls go and complain of to an OBGYN and what they're put on the pill for. There are many, many ways to balance hormones, including the most simple way is there's possibly a nutrient imbalance, micronutrient imbalance. There's specific things that girls should be taking at this age. There could also be a gut microbiome issue. That's a very common one nowadays that I see. There could be stress issue because of something called a pregnenolone steal. When girls are very stressed, it steals or makes cortisol a priority rather than making progesterone a priority. Because obviously, if you're so, so stressed, you are not wanting to reproduce. You're needing to deal with the stress, hence the cortisol. And this is very common in girls, the stress levels, right? Especially not right now. So there's so many, I mean, without me going into, and maybe I will do a follow-up podcast or two soon around all of the ways that we can help support the natural cycle to unfold so that we don't go to this birth control pill. Because the birth control pill is, like I said, only going to put a band-aid on an underlying issue. There's also a whole lot of estrogen dominance that goes on in this world with all of the excess estrogen we are being inundated with. And so that can cause an imbalance, right? And so if we help these girls from a young age through diet, through stress coping mechanisms, through all sorts of different things, occasionally there's supplements, and sometimes there's obviously bigger underlying issues. There could be a metabolism. It could be a metabolism issue. It could be a lot of carbohydrates. A lot of carbohydrates can affect your metabolic rate, which definitely impacts your body. It can be a liver issue. So if girls are eating a ton of sugar and a ton of junky food, bogging down their liver so their liver can't kick out the estrogen in their bodies. They have excess estrogen. So there's so many different ways we can go about healing not only girls, but women's periods as well. And the pill, I would say, should be a very last resort. It is always, modern medicine is always a lovely thing to turn to, but it should never be the first thing because it is, in fact, damaging the bodies, minds, and spirits of young women. And it's doing that through the hormonal process. I talked about the gut and I talked about how it can impact the mental health, right? So you are not just a hormone. You don't just have hormones independent of anything else. It is a full system, right? There is a full system. So what you do to one part of the system is obviously going to impact other parts of the system. Estrogen levels are highly, highly impacted on serotonin levels. When the estrogen level begins to decrease in your natural cycle, a lot of women start to get a little bluesy, right? That PMS. Partly that's because the estrogen is beginning to lower, and a lot of women start to crave carbohydrates. part of the reason for that is because that can increase the boost of serotonin. Also a reason why women can crave chocolate, right? So there is power in our cycles. There is power in knowing our cycles, knowing about our cycles. It is not rocket science. It is truly not rocket science. There is many years of my life that I had no idea what was going on in my body. I just know it didn't feel right. And I trusted and was just told to be put on this thing, and that's what I did, right? Trusted the doctor. So I guess the other thing I'm offering is that it is a tool. Birth control pills are a tool, hopefully to be used as a last resort. But there are so many other ways of regulating the period, and there are so many other ways of having a contraceptive method by being in more power with our bodies and understanding our bodies. And yes, I am working on actually a menstruation course just for girls to understand not just a little bit, like I gave in the puberty program, a little snippet of what's going on that helps them for sure, but more an intricate understanding of the actual names of the hormones and what they're actually doing and what they're responsible and how women can take care of themselves and know more about their own bodies that they live in. So hopefully this has been helpful to you. Hopefully it has given you a little bit more of an understanding on the birth control pill. Hopefully it's given you some more curiosity about what's going on in young girls' bodies and how intricate this process is and how important it is to their overall long-term health that we do not sweep it under the rug, that we listen to their problems of cramping or migraines or all of these sorts of things as actually something we can do something about, and that it sometimes, most time, does not take that much to do something about it, to find themselves in a greater balance. So if you are interested at all in my work, interested at all in sharing your child's story, in learning more about puberty, head over to powerfulpuberty.com, and I will see you again soon. Thanks, everyone. Bye.